living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away my own. Living streams.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my soul.
Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 10. I'm going to start in verses 34 to 43. We are in the middle of reaching farther by faith again this week. And ladies, we just wanted you to know we really missed you last week. But we prayed for you and trusted that you were having a great time with each other and with God in the woods down there in Brown County. But you were missed right here. I want to encourage you, if you haven't caught last week's message, you can go online and listen to that. Because kind of goes with this one. We're reaching farther by faith here at Living Streams. And we're wanting to reach farther in the world and farther with our promise. And so if you'll go listen to that, you'll hear a great ministry about what's going on in Brazil. A good description about a new country we'd like to reach into, joining with World Renewal International. And also you'll hear a good description of faith promise giving and how that goes in our lives. So I encourage you to go listen to that. If you would. And then today we are in these verses here in Acts, and Peter is being stretched to go farther with the gospel. God's showing him that it's not just the Jews he wants to save, but the whole world. So let's read those verses there in Acts. Verse 34, Acts chapter 10. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear not to all people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you and rejoice in the word we read this morning, the gospel, the saving power of Jesus. We're thankful for him, for his life, for his death and resurrection, for the hope that we have in him of overcoming the grave and the power that is broken in our lives over sin. We love you, Lord. Thank you for doing what you did. And we pray today that you just plant gospel seeds in our hearts. As we look at the gospels, you think about sharing it, as we hear about how it's being shared. Lord, call us to go. Call us to be a part of the mission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here Peter is on the other side of a major revelation. And that is also a major opportunity for the church. Now most of Acts chapter 10 is about a man named Cornelius. And Cornelius was a Roman. He was in the Roman army. He was a centurion, so he had some authority. He was an Italian. And he happened to be a devout worshiper of the living God. And so the Lord remembered him and how he was living his life, and he sends him a vision while he is praying. And in the vision, an angel comes to him and says, Cornelius, send some men to Joppa and go get Simon, who was called Peter, and bring him back to your house. Meanwhile, that's what Cornelius does. Meanwhile, in Joppa, Peter's up on the roof and he's praying, and he's getting a vision also with laundry and animals in it. And so his vision was this big sheet coming down on earth filled with animals that Jews weren't supposed to eat. And the message he hears is, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter objects to the menu. He says, listen, I've never broken dietary laws. I've never eaten anything unclean before. And you hear God say to him, do not call unclean or common what I have made clean. And so Peter gets that message three times. Now, anytime God repeats himself, it means he really has something to say, really important. So Peter is trying to figure out what this vision means. And while he's doing that, Cornelius' envoy shows up at his front door. And the Holy Spirit tells him to go down and to let them in and to go with them because he had sent them to Peter. And so Peter obeys his instructions. He gets some brothers together and they go back with this group to Cornelius' house in Caesarea. And there he begins to understand the vision that God had given him with the laundry and the animals. And he explains it to Cornelius. He says, now I see. It's not even lawful for me to come into your house. It's not lawful for me to even talk to you. But because God has arranged this, because he sanctioned this meeting, it's okay. He's going farther with the gospel. Now that kind of catches us up to the passage that we read. Because Cornelius asked Peter, okay, here we are. Tell us what we need to know. And what we read is Peter's sermon. You know, you might like it. It's nice and short, isn't it? But it's an incredible sermon. The first thing that Peter says is, now I truly understand that God shows no partiality. Anyone who believes, anyone in any nation who does what is right and fears God, God will accept. That's an amazing statement. Anyone who's living like Cornelius. Now, that might raise a little bit of a question for you in your mind, because we know how to have life with God through faith in Jesus. And it sounds a little bit like Peter's saying something different there. But that's just the introduction to Peter's sermon. Peter keeps preaching. He keeps going on. And he says this. Listen, you heard about Jesus. You know about what he did. About who he was and the miracles that he did. And then at the end of verse 43, kind of the conclusion to Peter's message, he says, everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sin through his name. Everyone. So if you look at that, the introduction and the conclusion to this message is the gospel is for anyone and everyone. Anyone and everyone. What an incredible opportunity for the church to fulfill the mission of God in the world. Every single person alive is eligible to respond to the gospel of Jesus. And so the church cannot discriminate against who we share the gospel with. And we can't make judgments or determinations about who will believe and who won't believe, or who deserves to believe and who doesn't. We can't do that. Now listen, I'm a believer in the sovereignty of God, that he is sovereign over salvation, that he has chosen those to believe before the foundations of the world. But that is God's world. That is God's knowledge. We don't get that knowledge until people come to faith in Christ. And then after they do, they go, well, they were chosen. So we don't get this. We don't want to make determinations like that. What we want to do is show no partiality to people who don't believe. We want to believe anyone and everyone. Now, I thought this might be a little bit of a rabbit trail for us this morning, but I think it's important to say this. Doesn't this speak a little bit to the current climate in our country today? I mean, there's a lot of isms being floated around, a lot of phobias being talked about, you know, racism, fascism, anti-Semitism, homophobia, Islamophobia, xenophobia. I had to look that up. It's the fear or dislike of people from a foreign country. Didn't know what it meant. Now you know. Because you're going to hear it. You'll hear it more and more. And I thought, I don't know about the isms and the phobias out there in the world. But I do know this. They've got absolutely no place in the Church of Jesus Christ. No place. You know, they got no place in your life as a follower of Jesus. Did you know that Jesus wasn't American? Think about that as you eat your lunch today. Think about that. This stuff has no place. And you know, I was thinking, our lives should reflect anyone and everyone can believe. Anyone and everyone. So what that means is we respect all people. No matter what they look like, no matter what they've done, no matter where they've been, no matter who they voted for, we respect them. We love them. That should be what the Church of Jesus Christ looks like. And with our current climate today, we cannot be content with just not doing wrong. We have to get proactive and start doing right. We have to break down the wall of silence between people that are different than us. And it can be as simple as talking to somebody at Walmart that doesn't look like you. Just a smile. Can I help you with that? Being nice to the cashier. Anything like that. To tear down this wall because the accusations are being thrown and they're being thrown at us. So let's show them the love of Jesus and do something different. And let's get rid of these isms and phobias and love people to the cross. Back to this Cornelius guy. Really important lesson, and this is maybe the place that we make the biggest mistake with the gospel in America. Okay, there's an important lesson here with Peter's revelation. Think about who Cornelius was. He was a Gentile, living a really good life, doing things for people, doing really good things for people, good enough that it became a memorial offering to God. God took notice. Okay, so if he was living here in McCoorsville, we would know Cornelius, because he'd be a guy we'd go like, yeah, that's a good guy. That guy's doing so much good in the community. And see, so what the lesson is we don't want to make the mistake that because somebody's living a really good life, that they believe in Jesus. We can't discriminate that way. Because Cornelius needed to believe in Jesus. He wasn't saved before Peter got there. And you know, in this country, when our history has been that Christianity's been dominant, right, for many years. And so it's easy to make this mistake. But Cornelius' life, it spurs us to reach farther than our personal judgments with the gospel. And you know, it is a good conversation when you talk to somebody about Jesus. It is a good conversation. And it will lead to good places. Very rarely do you get, go away from me. I don't want to hear that. Very rarely. If you're doing it in love. And so that's kind of what I want to talk to you about this morning. It's where I want to stretch. We want to reach farther in Indiana. We want to go farther than we ever have with our personal evangelism in our own lives this year as a church, as individuals. And I'm praying for every single one of you to have the opportunity to share Christ with somebody and to lead them to faith in Jesus. So just know that's what I'm praying for you for. It's on the top of my list. So get ready. You know what the first step is? What's the first step? Pray. Pray. Praying is the first step. Now, the thing that we can get from this conversion of Cornelius is how the Holy Spirit was working on both sides of the cross. You know, he gave both the non-believer and the believer visions to bring them together to come to a gospel-saving event. Isn't that amazing? You know, one of the jobs that I've had to do in my life, and it was definitely a have to, was a salesman. Some may say I'm selling today. Still doing that job. But I learned there's two kinds of selling. There's cold calling, and there's selling by referral. So cold calling is when you go knock on doors of people you don't know, or you pick up the phone, you make a lot of phone calls, and you try to generate leads for people who are interested in what you're selling. That's some tough selling. I think I tried that for one day and then decided that's not the kind of selling I wanted to do. But referrals is different. That's where somebody else who is acquainted with you shares your life with someone else that you don't know, and they say, hey, you should call this person. They can help you with whatever it is. And so then you get that information, you make the follow-up call, you call the person you don't know, and you say, hi, this is Greg. Pastor Shane told me to call. And they say, oh, yeah, Shane. And then you're on your way. You're on your way to closing the deal. That's my kind of selling. Well, get this. The Holy Spirit is in the business of referrals. He is given referrals to Peter right here. And that's what he does. He still does that today. He is out there working already today. While we're in here getting filled up with him, he's out there working on people who don't believe. He's awakening them up to spiritual things. Who knows? Maybe it's something they watch on TV. Maybe it's something they hear on the radio. But it just awakens their heart to spiritual things. And then he sends us out to have conversation, to start relationship, to meet these people. And so start praying. Praying for the opportunity that God would bring into your life to love on an unbeliever. Okay, start praying. They are all around us, anyone and everyone. Great opportunity. Next thing you want to do after you pray is love. You want to love on people. You guys with me so far? See, this personal evangelism stuff isn't so hard, is it? Just wait. So once you get to know somebody a little bit, you know their name, you know what's going on in their life a little bit, start loving on them. Acts of kindness. Help them out. Develop their relationship. Grow it. Don't let their sin bother you. That's all they can do without God's grace coming into their life. So don't discriminate with unbelievers because of their sin. It's all they can do. So pray for them every day. Pray for them by name. Be intentional. Grow the relationship. Make a good friend by being a good friend. And then one of the ways that really comes up a lot is suffering. Something will happen in their life and suffering will happen. And a lot of times we tend to want to stay out of that because it's a personal, private thing. But that's where we need to enter into their suffering. And we need to bring the peace of God in there with our presence and our own faith and tell them it's going to be okay. I'm praying for you. And God will use that. There was a man who was not interested in spiritual things. And he had this neighbor who he casually related to who was a believer. They would share tools and stuff. Talk over the back fence. Well, time came and this man's the unbeliever's wife was stricken with cancer and she died 3 months later. And this is what the husband wrote afterwards. He says, I was in total despair. I went through the funeral preparations and the service like I was in a trance. After the service, I went to the path along the river and I walked all night, but I didn't walk alone. My neighbor, afraid for me, I guess, stayed with me all night. He didn't speak. He didn't even walk beside me. He just followed me. When the sun finally came up over the river, he came over and he said, let's go get some breakfast. Man says, I go to church now. My neighbor's church. Because if a religion can produce that kind of caring and love, that kind of compassion that my neighbor showed me, that's something I want to find out more about. That's it. That's how it works. When we love people like Jesus, that's a powerful apologetic for who we believe in. Now, somewhere along the way, as you're praying and you're loving, there's going to come an opportunity to talk about spiritual things. And that, when you get that opportunity, when you get that chance, it's time to speak up. Get to Jesus. somehow get to Jesus. Look at Peter's sermon. Great example of what needs to be said. Jesus came to share good news. How to have peace with God through him. He is Lord of all. Tell them about Jesus' life. How he lived. What he did. How he rescued people. How he healed people. How he loved people. Tell them about that. Tell them how he died for people and why he died. But don't stop at the cross. Don't forget the empty tomb. That God raised him from the dead. And just like Peter did. God raised him from the dead. And we're witnesses to this. And then you tell them, this is what you believe. Because you were once lost, but now you're found. You were once blind, but now you see. You want to tell them these things. Did you know that the gospel is spread in the world with the word? It's spoken. It's spoken. It comes from our mouths. The word of God. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. We have to speak up. Now, I love how Peter puts this. He says, Jesus didn't appear to everyone, but to those chosen to be his witnesses, those who ate and drank with him. What is that? That's an intimate relationship with the Lord. And so listen, if you are one who has shared a meal with Jesus by consuming the feast of his word and filling up on the drink of his Holy Spirit, guess what? You have been chosen to be a witness. And what do witnesses do? They speak up. Then depending on how that conversation goes, you get to something really exciting. You make the ask. You know, there's no salesman in the world, not even ones that were doing referral, who don't have to get to making the ask. They have to close the deal. Do you want this? Do you want this? Do you want to believe? Do you want to trust Jesus with your life? You can know God. He can change you today. He can lift a burden of your sin and forgive you. He did it for me. He'll do it for you. I'm nobody special. He'll do it for you. And then just talk to God with him. Now, I totally understand that this is a daunting thing that I'm talking about. Very daring. Very daring. But we just came through a daring faith challenge, didn't we? So let's dare to do this. Because here's the thing. You're not on your own out there. God is with you. And he is helping you. You are joining him in his will. It's what he wants us to do in the world. He wants us to proclaim Jesus to the people that we know in our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. Making the appeal. That's the ask. What are we asking if the verse goes on? We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's where we need to get to. Now, there is not too many people that I know who have made the pray, love, speak, ask the way that they live. There's a few of them. One of them is Pastor Matt Kwan. And this is how he lives his life. He was in the hospital this past week, and I was visiting with him, and he gets a phone call from a lady who I believe was helping him out with some of the medical stuff. And he said, oh, thank you for calling. Guess what he asked her? Do you know Jesus? I mean, it was like 30 seconds into the conversation. He's a really good cold caller when it comes to the gospel. And he had a beautiful conversation with him, with this lady on the phone. And he, you know, she was a believer. And so he blessed her and said he would be praying for her. Beautiful conversation. But anyway, I asked Pastor McQuan if he would join us here today, and we're very grateful for him. And he brought a friend or two with him. And Jesse is here as well. And they're going to come and share a little bit about what God has done in Jesse's life through the ministry of Pastor McQuan. So come on up, fellas. Thank you for being here. Thank you. So spend a few minutes here and just tell us how God's been working.
Yeah, I'm very happy that God has given the great opportunity to worship the Lord together. This is awesome. And I'm very happy that today Brother JC, he's a Punjabi guy, turban guy, and how he came to the Lord in his life, what happened, and how God used me to strengthen his life, he will share with us.
Yes. What should we tell you, everybody? Hallelujah, Jam City. Yes, God used me. Actually, first, starting my prayer, because I'm Indian, just like, no speak English too much. We speak in Punjabi, Pastor translate to you guys.
He finding it, so I will explain later.
Okay. My name is Jasveer Singh.
His name is Jasveer Singh.
Ma'am, Punjabi.
He's from Punjab in North India. Or Sikh community, you know that Turban community, he belongs to that. He was very strong in his religion.
Every time I Gurudwara janda si.
He was often go to Gurudwara, the temple, the Hindu temple, he worshipped there. He was worshipping all insert and everything. Or in India also, he has a religious background there. From India to America, he got chance to come. And he,
1997
he came to America. Because he was a little finance very strong, but when he came here, he got a lot of money, so he started drinking and enjoying life. So afterwards, when he came, then he got marriage in India. So after some year, his wife also came over here. But the drinking habit is not gone. You know, after marriage also, continuing drinking habit. So there is no peace and joy in his life. There is no life. His wife, she is a believer. She was believing in Jesus, but he was not believing. So every day fighting, going between husband and wife, because he is believing different and she is believing different. So often they had a fight between them. So what his wife was doing in the TV program, Christian program comes, that time she was telling, watch, see Jesus program. So always she put the Benny Hinn's program, so something may work in his life. But he was not believing. Or he was rough and tough with her. One day he drank too much. Benny Hinn program was going on TV. There was number came on TV for prayer. So he write down that number. So wife told, why you are not believing, why you are writing the numbers? So he got angry and thrown out number. So again he drank too much wine. And then he said, let me try to call this guy. So that number they prayed for me.
Changed my life.
That touched my heart. So afterwards, slowly, I was trying to change my life. So afterwards, he thought to let me have good relation with God. So then he thought, let me, if I take baptism, then I will be changed totally. So he took baptism. So without understanding, he took baptism in 2012. So he was thinking the Holy Spirit will work more. And really, God was working in his life. Then later on, slowly, slowly, even though I was not understanding, but Holy Spirit was working in me. Prabhu, God is talking to me. So at the beginning I saw that when I pray for somebody, God was asking prayer, answering prayer. So one day I had a program in that area, Greenwood area, I met him. So he invited me to know more about Christ. So because he don't know Bible, so then he told me to come and teach me Bible. So I started to teach Bible.
Every Sunday sitting garden.
So every week I used to go teach Bible, lead him to the Lord.
Every Friday fasting prayer kar rahe sari family.
Now they are praying with us every Friday, fasting and prayer. So he is thanking God that God now he made him strong. Now he is with me. I am encouraging him and leading him to do the God's work. My wife one day came after the work at home. She had a stomach pain too much. So she cannot stand up. Too much pain on her stomach pain. I cannot do anything else. So please do something for me. So wife told, please you put your hand and pray for me. Then I prayed to God by putting my hand on my wife. So I prayed, Lord, please touch my wife and heal her. I cried before the Lord. When I said, Lord, please touch, and I cried, and when I said, Amen, and my wife got healed. There no more pain, and she is God healer.
Yes, Lord.
Thank God.
Thank you, my Lord.
Jesse, he's a truck mechanic. He has a business. 24/7 truck on road, any truck broke, he fixed. And he has a pizza store in downtown. Uncle Pizza. He makes very good pizza. And he has a good business. So, I am reading him because turban people, lot of here in America, they are businessmen. If God need him to do this work, so he needs little training. So I am trying to send him some place to train him. And stand as a missionary. So pray for him, okay?
Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you.
So that's an example of some of the ministry that Pastor McQuan's doing here in Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
And
what happened?
Need a drink. So he's been, he's hard at work. His schedule is pretty much every day, all day.
Yeah.
So we want to share just a little bit about how the ministry here is reaching in India.
Praise the Lord. Many people knows how I'm working. Actually, as pastor spoke very nice message. See, very easy, and there is no need any money to speak. No need anything. Just speak. God loves you. God cares for you. God has a plan for you. You know, some little words that touch the man's heart. So always, we pray, I meet people here. I say, do you know God loves you? But you may not know who is he, but I want to tell you. And I tell story about Jesus. Then I share about the how God answered the prayer. So they Everybody has a life. In the world, everybody has some problem. Nobody is 100% everything all right. Mm-hmm. Every family has some kind of problem. So they will share with us. So I say, okay, I will pray. And we pray, and my wife is my prayer supporters, and we pray, and God does miracles. So then they pass, they tell to somebody has problem. As pastor said, they will tell, hey, if you have problem, contact Bhagwan, contact Roshan. So they will forward us. So then they will. So example, I want to tell you, in Columbus, Ohio, there was one lady, last time I given testimony, the result happened, this miracle. She, her name is Rajasri Patel. She was pregnant. And when she was pregnant, after 7 months, she found it that her child has a hole in her heart. Some problem, a critical problem. And that lady was upset, discouraged. She was Hindu, she worshipped many God, but there is no peace. She was more and more going depression. Somebody told her that you contact Roshan and Mekwan, they will pray and God will do miracles. So that lady, really, from Ohio, Columbus, they came to my home. We prayed by faith. My wife applied oil. We prayed. And now they gone, and just last week they got baby boy, and boy is healthy. Mm-hmm. So God does miracles. So then they will tell to somebody. So what I said, my God is not only miracle work and you go. When God works in your life, then you have to tell somebody. If you don't tell somebody, that's not use. So likewise, I have many contact today. Actually, another couple was coming, but they are late this morning. Brother Dilip Pandya and Rekha Pandya, they are my first convert. They were dying when I met. That was last day for them to live on earth. Just half an hour before, if I did meet, they should kill themselves. Mm-hmm. But I met them and God gives their life. Mm-hmm. So I invited them, but this morning something happened, so they did not come. So likewise, I have many contacts here. I am teaching them Bible, visiting. It's a little hard work going home, getting their time. They are not available. I go again. You know, so a lot of. Then from India, from here, they tell to their relatives in India. So from here, we share the gospel to India. So now by God, we have 14 church in India, home church. And Pastor Greg, we are going, he will give a report, true report, because he will say. And he already saw some work, and he is coming again, so he will give you good report. So I want to tell you, there are some group just newly came, because via somebody shares, they said, come our hometown, as well as this time we will visit. So pray for that this our visit, we have a lot of work to do there, so we can do good work. So there are a lot of things to share, but if you, this is a church service, so we cannot spend more time, but if you have a pastoral group and sharing, that would be great. Sometime I may come and if you have any question, you can ask and we can share.
Okay. So as he mentioned there, every year he takes a trip to India. And this year, next year, in February, Lord willing, Mike Dickey and myself will be joining him. February 12th to March 1st is the dates we're planning to go. And this is some of the places that we'll be going in India. That's the whole map and all those places. Can you tell just a few what we'll be doing?
Yes. I want to tell you the map. The big work is Surat. There is a S-U-R-A-T, Surat. This is our big congregations. We laid one lady, and that lady laid nearly 40 people. One lady in Surat. So we have, there are a number of groups there. They are, every Saturday they invite and we preach from here. Now we wake up 4 a.m. early morning to pray for them. 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. we pray with them. Every Friday and Saturday, 4 a.m. we get up. And at Surat we have good group. And from there we have Amreli, is a doctor family came to the Lord. And then Junagadh is a district place. Small towns surround nearly 7. So we have 7 group there, Junagadh. So it's a mountain area. Mountain and tigers and lions, the jungles, that area. So he might see tiger lion there. We are going to their side.
Start praying right now.
We have Rajkot and we have Baroda. All cities we have number of group there. So, and main is Bombay also, because our main base was Bombay, Mumbai. And Mumbai, I was pastor there, and there God opened my eyes. Because in Bombay is a big city, metropolitan city. All Hollywood star people. So I was working among the Bollywood. Johnny Lever, you don't know, is my friend. All Bollywood star. I was working among them. So I laid there. So God opened my eyes. And I started the group. One group, two group. And now ministry is going on. And I praise God that I came here in America by faith. And now I have a number of good friends. I'm very happy. I never seized the big church. I seized the big heart for the Lord. And your pastor has a big heart for the Lord. And I see, money is no matter. If your Bible says if you're little, see there are two little things is great. Faith little, if you have little faith, move the mountain. And if you have little money, surrender God will bless. Now this church, little church, is going to be extended. God is going to do mighty work. So praise God for that. And I want to tell you, as the Holy Spirit is leading us, life is so precious. I always tell three things to Hindu. Life is so precious. Do you know why? God made. Life is so precious because Jesus died for that. And life is so precious because Jesus made heaven for you and for us, for all world. So no one should go perish. God wants to save everyone. If we are saved, what about others? Can we be happy? When I'm saved, I will be in heaven, and my brother, he don't know Jesus, and he go to hell. How can I live? Oh Lord, please save my brother, save my sister, save my friends, save my uncles. So we have to pray for our family. We pray for our children. Our children are now in the Lord, walking with the Lord, in their life, but now we teach, daughter, walk with Jesus. God is with you. God is with us. So, likewise, we take care of our life, our family, our friends. And now, has God given responsibility to church? And we are going everywhere. And so, I'm very happy, thankful to you. Just pray for, actually, when I can, I don't know my English. How about I speak? Whatever language may be, is that any guy, a black, American, any guy, I share gospel. Because at least little they will understand. So I share Jesus. So I'm very happy. God has given me great faith. I thank God for that.
Yeah, let's pray for you right now, shall we? Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for life. We thank you for those you choose to step out in faith and be missionaries in the world. And this man here has walked by faith from India to Indiana to reach Hindus here. And you're using him even back in India while he's here. And so, Lord, we praise you for the way you work. And we want to lift him up to you, Pastor McQuan. We want to lift Roshan up to you and the girls. And we just pray that you would protect them, that you would keep them healthy, that you would strengthen them and encourage their hearts for the ministry that you've been giving them, Lord. And we pray that the gospel seeds would just keep bearing fruit in their lives and the kingdom would grow in that community that you're reaching out to all over the world through him. We thank you for Jesse and the way you worked in his life, Lord, and for the changes that have occurred and the way you brought love and peace and unity into his family, Lord. And so we just ask your blessing on him today as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, buddy. Well, we'll be kind of going to all those places and visiting churches. And every time we go to one of those churches, there's new believers and there's unbelievers. Every time, because they invite people to come. So every time we meet in one of those places, one of those 14 house churches, there'll be unbelievers there. So we'll be sharing the gospel to people that have never heard the name of Jesus. Such a great opportunity. I'm very thankful to have it, to be able to go. And I'm very thankful to be sent by you. Because every time I go, I went in 2013, and every message that I preached, I said, I want to send you greetings from the people at my church back home. And so I'll do that again. But here's the deal. When I went last time in 2013, I said that I don't think I ever in my life had more people praying for me than I did during that 2 weeks that I was gone. And that's how we want you to participate. This isn't just me pursuing my own personal daring faith going goal. And it's not for Mike or Mac One. You're a part of this. Start praying right now. We dare not go without prayer support. And so we will get, as this itinerary gets nailed down, we're going to be doing a pastor's conference, encouraging pastors over there. Because, you know, we're only there for a few days. They're there. That's where they live. So we're going to encourage them in evangelism. They need encouragement just like we do. So we're going to do that and then be encouraging these. And then we'll be doing open air gospel preaching as well. So I'm telling you, it is a stretch for me to go. It's 17, 18 times of preaching in 14 days, and being gone from home that long is tough. So we cover your prayers, and we'll fill you with more information. But I want to have our worship team come back up and say 2017 is a year to reach farther by faith, farther in the world to Brazil, farther with our promise, believing God to give through us, to provide and give through us. Reaching farther personally in Indiana and reaching farther in India as we go. One of the things I'm going to do to help prepare is I'd like to, beginning in January, preach messages here that I'm going to preach there. So you'll get to know what I'm going to be sharing, and you can help me. Yeah, you can help me with all of that. Heavenly Father, we're filled up today, filled up with you, and we just celebrate with Emma. And I'm so proud of her, Lord, to stand up and share her faith with everyone, how you've worked in her life. Thank you for all those people that were in that chain that linked her to you. And we pray for her, Lord, that you'd bless her, you'd keep her, help her, Lord, in those moments she feels like the old person, to trust in you, that she's a new person in you. So we thank you for that, Lord. As we go out, Lord, there's people out there that need to hear about Jesus, and there's a testimony we have to share. Help us, Lord, in knowing those people and loving them and speaking to them. It's in your name we pray today, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.